Solly, I heard you once saying something about that it's very, very difficult to translate Gaelic poetry into English.
Well, I think fundamentally there is the difficulty of the sound, because on the whole, and especially with our Sky dialects, there is a tendency for the vowel to be longer than it is in English. And therefore, even the assonances stand out more than vowel assonances would do in English. Of course, there is another syntactical difference, because I think Gaelic is wonderfully good at expressing degrees and places of emphasis with the use of natural inversions and particles than English is nowadays, at any rate. I think that is a big difficulty. Besides, of course, so much Gaelic poetry is outside the main European traditions. I try myself to be as literal as possible, I mean logically, but of course the sound is awfully difficult.
Yes, I suppose that is what we have to remember about poetry, that you're translating not just words but complete units of sound and words.
I think if you're doing a line-by-line translation, it is very desirable to have, approximately the same number of syllables the line, but that is terribly difficult.
And since there's such a lot of assonance in Gaelic, there is a lot of music which English really cannot get at. And it sounds natural in Gaelic, doesn't it? Assonance actually sounds more natural sometimes in Gaelic than in English.
Yes, mind you. It's very often inevitable in Gaelic because there are so many fewer vowels than
that's
consonants.
Right, that's right. Yes,
and
yes,
therefore,
yes,
yeah. It is at once more natural, I think, and stands out more, too, because of the relative length of the vowel.
Cowngohainert. Colon Vountain, Storchach Vountain. Corlys fiant yn y ffas fyr, crynwch y gwmwchyn, hwmwch yn leif, jyn chyn sef eich gych gafi. Eir i lawnt yn chorach yn wdli, laes y fwr i chrach gych, sy'n y chlwyniac yn hwyniac yn strwlach, brydol sy'n nŵlach garsi. Echri fiant yn marchach gwmwch yn diawnru, rwhan o'ch caher, sliawn o'ch glech gan yn siengach, chrechyn yn strawr i'ch lech gan o'ch ardfian. On o'ch rys fwmwch yn conoglis chwmwch yn mon o'r lwym hwraid yn marshal, gorom lys yn fosgar i styrim lys yn mosganach, barog fyd yn fonny yn arda.
Cynlwch Einart. A company of mountains, an upthrust of mountains, a great garth of growing mountains, a concourse of summits, of knolls, of hills coming on with a fearsome roaring, a rising of glens, of gloomy corries, a lying down in the antlered bellowing, a stretching of green nooks, of brook mazes, prattling in the age-old midwinter. A cavalry of mountains, horse-riding summits, a streaming headlong haste of foam, a slipperiness of smooth flat rocks, small-bellied bare summits, flat rock snoring of high mountains. A surge belt of hilltops, impetuous thigh of peaks, the murmuring bareness of marching turrets, green flanks of Moscary, crumbling storm flanks, barbarous pinnacles of high moorlands.
Well, I suppose even someone who doesn't know any Gaelic would notice that in reading the Gaelic version that there are all these similar sounds like Vullichin, Hullichin, and Cluanagan and Huanagan and so on. This gathering together of lots of adjectives and lots of nouns and so on, this is something that we find traditionally in Gaelic, isn't it? In certainly in earlier Gaelic.
This poem is fundamentally semi-surrealist. mm-hmm. with a confusion of the senses. I mean, in the sense of that, things mm-hmm. heard, mm-hmm. Things seen in terms of things heard, yes. and vice yes. versa. And there is also the fact that it is on a day of wind and rain and swirling mists mm-hmm. where mountains tops appear and disappear and seem to move. Yeah. Now, in this poem, I've been asked again and again by Gales where on earth the rhythm came from. Mm-hmm. And I think myself that the rhythm is, in spite of the great number of assonances and all that, that the rhythm is fundamentally original. And by the way, there is a bigger congregation of nouns than of adjectives.
Yes, I suppose really that the closest you might get to something like this in English would be maybe some of the poems of Hopkins, where he draws from the Welsh. I think sometimes he has a series of nouns or a series of adjectives and so on.
Douglas Young always used to tell me that there was an awful lot of sprung rhythm in mm-hmm. my verse, but I didn't agree mm-hmm. with him. Mm-hmm. However, mm-hmm. it may be something like that.
I notice also that in this particular poem, and I've noticed also in some of your other nature poems, that you've got quite a lot of comparison of mountains and so on to women, especially a kind of kind of sexual mountains, like impetuous thigh of peaks.
I wouldn't quite agree that it's mm-hmm. here. You see, I think there, you see, it was more the suggestion of the horse rider there, you see.
Oh, yes.
I think. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You see, you have to say a word for shengach, small-bellyedness. You see, that word sheng in Gaelic, you know, it's often used of a horse, mm-hmm. the mm-hmm. small belly of a horse. And it's a terribly difficult word to get an equivalent in English.
Yes.
You see, this Swiss word sheng, the adjective shengach, mm-hmm. small-bellied, and it's used more of horses than mm-hmm. of human beings, although it can be used of mm-hmm. human mm-hmm. beings. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it's a word that expresses a great approbation.